Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, it's actually Chris Williams sitting in studio for Steve Arterburn, and with me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Chris.
Good to see you.
Good to be together again.
And Mylon Yurkovich.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Mylon.
Good to be with you guys.
Okay, I have a weird thing to come up.
Bring up.
I don't know if it's weird or not, but like every year after Easter, you know, so like in the spiritual life, we have like Christmas and it's something, and for those who experience Lent, there's something, and then there's this great experience of Easter. And for many of us, we have this deep spiritual connection mm-hmm. during that time. But then we kind of go into this late spring or spring into summer, and it's like, what do we have to look forward to spiritually? How do we tend to our spiritual lives?
Spiritually.
Yeah, spiritually. Am I saying that right? Spiritually?
Sounded good to me.
I mean, there's lots of things happening.
Yes, yes.
It tends to be busy later in the spring, especially if you have school.
I think the answer to your question is I do not use major events like that mm-hmm. as boosters per se to mm-hmm. my spirituality. I try to maintain something that's consistent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that I'm not dependent upon those days. You know, I remember referring sometimes to Christians as C&E Christians,
yeah,
Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be the time they would only go to church.
Uh-huh.
And so they have this boost. And then, of course, Lent and all these various religious practices. I think the issue is there's this key word that Jesus used called abiding.
Mm.
Abide in me and I in you. And it's just this idea of dwelling together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's more important as a consistent, steady
mm-hmm.
peace
yeah.
in my spirituality.
Yeah. Learning to abide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. That it's continual. Mm. But I think, you know, anniversaries of things.
True.
Right.
True.
Help us to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my son and I have this tradition of we always, around Easter time, watch The Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And he started that when he was a lot younger. And it's just the graphics of it
yeah.
were just so, like, wow to him. Like, it mm-hmm. really visually stirred him. And so it's a good reflection time of, yes, I'm abiding all year long, but wow, what Christ did for us.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful point. Just to pause and reflect on that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It used to be that my favorite service, we went to a church for a period of time, my favorite service of the year was the Good Friday service.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Or Maundy Thursday. Similar.
Yes.
In some faiths.
No,
Maundy,
sure.
Thursday.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, it was probably one of the most significant, mm-hmm. most, with the greatest depth of the power of what mm-hmm. happened on the cross.
Yeah.
The,
mm-hmm.
the things, the mighty transactional deeds and contracts that transpired
yeah.
at that moment. And then it just was a depth of gravity, too, to realize what he has done for us on the cross.
Yeah.
And to just dwell in that.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, Jill, as an anniversary, to abide deeply in that moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I just want to encourage people to that point. Oftentimes we need help in these areas. We need assistance. I know I do. So we have journals that help you get into this. And, you know, 100 days of prayer or gratitude. And so we have resources in our libraries. If you need a jump start and you need a routine that we can help you along with to abide, to find this deeper life in Christ that brings so much richness to it, let us help you with that. And if you're online, stay with us, and we're going to get to phone calls right after this break. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Chris Williams back with you in studio for Steve Arterburn, and we're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to go to Christy in Kalamazoo, Michigan, listening on our app. And Christy, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent, excellent. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm calling my son, who's 20 years old. He just recently got diagnosed with schizophrenia. And my question is, I am wondering, he was addicted to pot for a while, and he, at about, I think it was around 12, 13, we found this out later, is when he actually started with a friend from a new school that he was going to. And I'm just wondering if you know, is there a link between kids that young, 12, 13-year-olds, you know, smoking marijuana and developing schizophrenia?
The short answer to that is yes. In fact, at UCLA right now, they're doing a lot more studies because of a rapid rise of what they call cannabis-induced psychosis. And so, you know, the in the world of THC, in the world of marijuana, you know, there's these wars and these debates going on about, you know, is it safe, is it right, is it wrong, because of the way that we've handled it in the past, or people's personal belief. And also, to be really quite honest, because there is a lot of money to be made out there off of this product.
Right.
And so what's not being talked about is that what we have today is not Woodstock weed. In fact, to call it pot is almost disingenuous, because they say, oh, you know, it's God's gift to us. So it's like, well, we don't like genetically modified foods, but to say that pot is a natural product is a complete lie, because of the way that it is phenomenally genetically modified to what we have today.
Well, and in the developing brain, it's a little like playing Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? Because you don't know who's going to have the more extreme reaction to it or
not. Yes. Yeah.
Right? And first of all, it's just not good for young people at all.
Yeah.
Right? Because it does impact, and it does affect brain chemistry. But then someone who, you know, is prone to psychosis, it will definitely trigger. I mean, we know that drugs will induce people into, you know, kind of create the perfect environment for bipolar to come onto the scene. So something that may have laid dormant, you know, with the right combination of chemicals in the brain, and it pops onto the scene. And I'm so sorry that your son has developed this.
Yeah.
Mylon? Oh, thank you. You know, I'm sorry. I was just going to say right quick. He also had he had seen a counselor, or actually, he would have been a psychiatrist that he was seeing, and he admitted to using pot in the past. And it's funny, Jill, that you said playing Russian roulette, because that's what he told my son. He goes, if you continue, because he had already had some psychotic symptoms, and he said, if you continue to do this, you're playing Russian roulette. And, you know, he didn't do it for a while, and he did it again, you know, and now at 20, we get, you know, the diagnosis of schizophrenia, and it's just, it's awful, and I just can't believe that our society is so accepting of something that can do this.
I know.
Yeah.
People, you know.
Yeah. Well, and Chrissy, you mentioned something I think is important, is like in all of the moral debates that we can have about something like today's marijuana, what we're not, what's being missed is truth, is the truthful information, right? So, you know, this may get me in hot water, but Big Pot is taking the exact same playbook from Big Tobacco 40 years ago. The exact same playbook. They are burying the research, trying to give only the benefits, and targeting people younger and younger and younger, including the flavoring of the distillates. And so, and just to give you an idea, Woodstock weed, Woodstock pot, would be about at the very top a concentrate of THC of about 2.5%. Today, you can get a distillate at any smoke shop where it's legal or otherwise at 90%. So any effect any high that you got from smoking it, you know, in the late 60s, I mean, you can imagine the potency of what people are putting into themselves today.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
it's terrible, and they're putting them in vape.
Yes, exactly. And so the way it's being metabolized is different. Mm-hmm. And so without burying ourselves in all the science of it, again, what pains me is that we're not getting accurate information so that whatever your decision about it is, at least it's based on accurate information. At least you have true informed consent. But I don't believe that we have that today at all.
Mm-mm.
You know, and that's...
No.
Yeah. So. Nope.
I've had a counselor tell me, too, that they don't think that it causes schizophrenia, but from what I've looked up is that if they have a specific gene that might affect brain chemistry or if you have any kind of mental illness in your family, pot can cause them to go on, you know, they can actually then get schizophrenia down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the truth of the matter is that's why we need continuing research and emphasis put on that, and that we don't just accept toxins into our life without, again, really understanding what's going on here. So, and Christy, your story speaks to something I think is really important, is that losing a 22-year-old to schizophrenia is beyond heartbreaking. There just are not words to describe how heart-wrenching and difficult that experience is. So, Christy, I hope you're getting help for what you're going through.
Yeah, you know, we just recently got the diagnosis, and I've been in counseling probably most of my life. I've suffered with depression and anxiety, but I am now kind of on this quest to find, you know, just all the resources I can find, books. I may have to do a group, you know, something, because I don't know anything about schizophrenia other than what I've just kind of read online, and just some of the behaviors that we're seeing in my son are very scary.
Yes.
And this is going to be, you know, different for all, you know, his brother and sister are older. They don't understand this. You know, it's like, what happened to him? Why is he not acting like he used to, or, you know?
Right.
And it's just, it's so hard. So I know I'm trying to reach out, and maybe you guys have some resources too that I could get, just, you know, to help me with finding. And I don't even know if he should be like doing some kind of DBT or
Here's what we're gonna do. We definitely want him under medical care, because this is a severe medical condition, obviously, including therapy on that. But the first thing that we're going to send you is out of the Arterburn Wellness series called Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. And so that's really a resource for you. There's another book out there. Yes. It's called Weed Inc., as in Incorporated. Yeah. It's by an author named Ben Cort, and that's C-O-R-T.
Okay.
He also has a TED Talk on it as well.
Okay.
And again, it's Ben Cort.
So, Christy, I too am very sad about what you and your family are going through. And I think it's important to... Excuse me a second. I think it's important to realize it's possible for you to get really oriented around solutions and research and how do we manage this. But Chris touched on something, and I want to retouch it, which is take care of your family's grief, because your family has lost a lot here. They've lost a son. They've lost a brother as they knew him. And things are different from this point on. So finding places to grieve and process the pain rather than just be on a mission to learn, in which we can distract ourselves. That's very important. But take time for you and for them as well. What are they feeling? You know, what are they afraid of? They could potentially need group or therapy themselves. Family therapy would be wonderful for the family to be able to talk through this massive loss. I am so sorry, Christy.
Yeah. Well, Christy,
thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. I know you waited a while online from the previous show, so thank you so much. This is a really, really important issue that, you know, as the proliferation of marijuana out there is hitting us, it's important that we get the resources necessary to know exactly what we're dealing with. So thank you so much, Christy, for calling in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to another caller. We're going to go to Kathy in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on WNOM. Kathy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Kathy, how can we help you today?
Yeah. Well, last July, I lost my nephew. He's 38 years old, and he had a motorcycle accident. And my mother, who has kind of battled depression all her life, she is really struggling with it on how to move forward, and it's to the point that it's hard to even go visit her because there's so much sadness. I want to be able to help her, but I don't know. I'm at a loss of what to do.
Yeah. Does your mom talk about this loss as sort of the thing that has her so despondent or down?
Well, it is, and he left behind a 7-year-old little girl that he had sole custody of, and so she focuses on her a lot, to the point that, you know, I'm over-treating her, over-protecting her because of her situation.
Yeah. So does your mom have, is she now the caregiver for the 7-year-old?
She is not, but she was a few years ago for a short time in between custody situations, she was. So there was a bond there.
Yeah. Mm. And so, Kathy, for us today, if there's a question that we can help you with, what is it?
It would be... how can I help her? Because I'm guilty of, I just want to just move on and be among the living. But I know that's probably not the right thing to say to her. I just want to know, what do I need to do to help her?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's understandable, Kathy, that it's hard to watch your mom just really, really struggle with this. But the grieving process, it can be different for every person, and it doesn't necessarily, while there are, you know, people put things into time frames, it doesn't necessarily always fit into a nice, neat time frame. And part of it, when you're seeing someone suffer, so it makes sense that you want them to move on. I want to redirect you back to your own anxiety about that. And what is it like to see your mom so down and struggling? And the helpless feeling that maybe that you have, as well as perhaps feeling like you don't have a mom right now because she's so over-focused on these issues. And I wonder, Kathy, how much time you have sat with her and allowed her to speak about her grandson. And to talk about her feelings of loss and to remember, because I think that's a really important part of family grieving together, and to be able to go through that. And then to allow her to be sad while at the same time introducing her to maybe new activities and not leaving her, you know, alone all the time.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Kathy, did you say that your mom had a history of depression?
Yes.
Prior to this?
Okay.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a few moments as well. And
So we're coming up against a break here. And if you have an issue that you need to deal with, We have help for you. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can connect you with a great library of resources and a great connection resources of therapists all over the country. So give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we will be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
And we're back. This is Chris Williams, excuse me, in the studio for Steve Arterburn. And we're talking with Kathy. And Kathy, your family is dealing with a lot of grief and loss. And there's other issues, as you were speaking to, Mylan, that's going on here.
Well, Kathy, the other issues being that, of course, your mom has suffered with depression for a long time or previous to this. And then your nephew who passed away and his wife were having domestic marital problems, and your mom was thrust into a caretaking role. So there have been family dynamics that have been really rough for a while. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of the things, and this is very counterintuitive, Kathy, but one of the things that we have to keep in mind is we cannot get through pain or trauma with avoidance. We have to lean into the pain. And that's counterintuitive because all of us tend to recoil from pain mm-hmm. and want to, and we use phrases like, I want to live in the land of the living, you know. But the way we deal with trauma and pain is by addressing it head on. And so Jill's idea a little while ago was very important. She said, Kathy, sit down with your mom and ask her, what are the things that really hurt mom? What hurts the most? What are your feelings about mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. nephew's declining marriage, the fact that he had sole custody, which means the mom somehow was falling way short for him to be given sole custody. There's so much to explore, but as we explore these things, we experience emotional freedom, not with avoidance, mm-hmm. but by engaging directly into them. It's called a deep dive into pain, and most people aren't trained to do it, but it is so effective, Kathy.
Right, and we think that it's going to make it worse.
Right.
I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
I don't want to make her more sad.
Right.
She may look more sad as she's talking about it, but she'll actually experience a lift in mood if you are able to sit with her and you understand.
Right.
Well, just the simple process of talking about mm-hmm. it, if we think about it this way, if we have it in a safe environment, it's offloading it. We're
yes.
no longer carrying it anymore. We're trying to offload the pain. We're trying to offload the sorrow. And in that, there is a strength that comes with solidarity.
Right.
Other people
right.
that can join us in that.
And it's not other people trying to fix it
no,
or
huh.
solve it.
Yeah.
Or, right? It's just sitting and hearing it and acknowledging it.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the most beautiful passages in the Bible is when Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came into town with a plan. He was going to resurrect Lazarus. But he didn't resurrect him right away.
Mm-hmm.
They were so grieved at his loss. And they had to watch him decline. They had to watch him die, take his last mm-hmm. breath, wash his body, wrap his body, and bury it.
Yeah.
See, they went through a lot. And when Jesus got into town, he sat down with Mary and Martha, and he just wept with them.
Yeah.
He cried. And it doesn't say he just cried a few eye drops. I think he really cried for the horrible loss that they experienced. And so grief is something that there's a perfect model of leaning into the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is a matter of just crying with people and not having very few words.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, even Isaiah says that Jesus is a man acquainted with many sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I like to say, we want to be acquainted with a man who's acquainted with many sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be like him that can enter into these mm-hmm. situations, into mm-hmm. people's lives, and that can hold these situations well.
So the goal isn't to fix the pain, it's to empathize with it
yes.
and just be with it. The pain, mm-hmm. and just tell them that makes sense. I understand.
Well, and you might be in touch with some of your own pain then, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is a loss for the whole family, Kathy.
Yeah, we don't fix it. we just identify with it.
I have another question. And tell me if this is normal. She's like pulling out all his pictures from when he grew up.
Yep.
And yep.
Placed all over the house.
Yep. That's part of her memorializing him.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of her.
It's a season.
It's an expression of the meaningfulness mm-hmm. of the relationship.
His life mattered.
Absolutely. So, Kathy, we're going to send you a couple of resources, okay? I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I'm going to send you also something for your mom that you can share with her. Again, not as a fix, but something as just a help, and that is out of the Life Recovery series is Recovering from Grief and Loss. And so we're going to send you it's a workbook, and I think that would be very, very helpful for you. And again, the more that you're able to show up a safe presence, the better you are mm-hmm. for other people. So thank you so, so much for calling in, Kathy. And let's get on the phones to another caller. And I want to go to Misty in Denton, Texas, listening on KWRD. Misty, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Excellent. Misty, how can we help?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you well. How can we help you today?
Okay. I've been married for 10 years, and my husband he's been sober for 11 years, and in the last 5 years, he's been a dry drunk.
Okay.
And I've been talking to him about that, and he's been, of course, denial, lie, deny, and, in this time of the last 5 years, he has allowed his family to be abusive towards him.
Yeah. Well, Misty, let me do this because we're coming up against a break here. So we're going to come back to your call. But I want you to think of a question for us that we can help you with. I think we got a good picture of what's going on here. And so we'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams talking with Misty from Denton, Texas. And so, Misty, you have been married for 11 years.
10 years.
10 years.
Yes.
And husband, you say dry drunk. What exactly do you mean by dry drunk?
Not dealing with his problems, not working the steps, not going to AA, not going to church.
Okay,
not,
so that's all the stuff. Hold on. Let me address this. So that's the stuff on his side. How are you impacted by his lack of program, I'll call it?
He manipulates. He's very, very, very manipulative. And it's impacted me in such a way that it's like he needs to prove to the entire world for some reason that he is this perfect person. But when he comes home, something that I've done that actually I haven't done, his family has done, I am reprimanded for it. You know, well, if you didn't look like this, or if you didn't say this, or if you didn't do this, then I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, to the smallest little thing. So you're blamed
for your lack of perfection.
I'm blamed for his family's lack of perfection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're blamed for their reactivity. If you wouldn't have done this or that, yes, they wouldn't be reactive, mm-hmm, and they wouldn't be saying certain things or upset.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have done this.
Okay, so what's
Misty,
what's your question here then with that? That's a horrible position to
be
in.
Yeah, it is.
So what is your question to us?
Okay, he is going to AA now, and he started, like, you know, a week ago, and I'm going to Al-Anon.
Good.
But I'm having a extremely hard time forgiving him, and this sounds really terrible, and I don't understand. I feel like the Holy Spirit, for some reason, has left me, and I don't know why. Maybe, I don't know, like I've put it to pieces emotionally thinking, well, maybe because my husband abandoned me through emotional support and allowed all these cruel things to happen to me. You know, I don't know. I pray every day and every night, you know, to learn how to forgive, to let it go.
So, Misty, why is that important for you to forgive him? See, you're saying here, I can't forgive him, and I think the Holy Spirit has left me. That's a lot of heavy stuff right there. Why are you imposing forgiveness upon a person who is harming you?
I guess because it's my second marriage, and I usually run. Like, I can't believe I'm still here.
Okay.
And so, I don't want to follow the same same program as running.
But you see, facing the truth is not running. You know, facing the truth and requiring that he do something other than gaslighting you and blaming you and using you as the scapegoat in the family system for you to rise up and say no. You see, Jesus didn't allow himself to be abused by other people except for one day on the cross. The rest of the time, he was confrontive with people, and he called them out. He challenged them. And so he wasn't this person who just allowed anything to happen to him. And so I think forgiveness that you're imposing upon yourself is too much.
It's too soon.
It's too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. You haven't seen enough action. And also, I'm not sure that being in this position of facing the truth means you've lost the Holy Spirit.
No.
I get that it means it feels very different because you said you usually run. Mm-hmm. So this is unfamiliar territory that probably feels really scary to you, Misty.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so...
Yeah, I mean, I was abused as a child. I ran. I mean...
Yeah.
And the minute I was like 12 years old and...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I got out of my house.
So this
and
is...
And Misty, this may sound strange, but I know what it's like to do this. To forgive as a way of avoiding the truth and the pain.
Yeah, good point.
If
I can forgive it and move on, then I can be okay. The other person can be okay. It's sort of like the forgiveness is trying to be a salve without dealing with
without the
problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So forgiveness does its work, and grace does its work when it addresses the injury that it's forgiving. And so we have to go into the injury first. Now, it doesn't mean what that means is this, is that we don't put ourselves in danger. Let me clarify that.
Right.
But we learn to learn to be honest with the injury and then be able to set boundaries around it.
Right. So when you were young, running was a way of survival, right?
It was a good thing.
It was a good thing, right? But now,
yes, it was a great thing.
As an adult, it's kind of a good thing taken too far, right? Because now you're running from everything that your brain is signaling you as danger, danger, danger. When really it's like, no, we need to turn around. We need to face the danger, okay? Because now as an adult, we can do something about it. So I'm really glad you're in Al-Anon. I think therapy would also be warranted for you right now because I think you're really getting triggered from your past, and it's hard to discern what's true danger and what are the things I need to face.
And what is the present and what is the past?
Right. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You see, because when we get triggered, what happens is our past comes flooding in. Flooding into the present situation.
Yeah.
And you've put this horrible stereotype over yourself, this branding of being a runner as though it's bad. But we have to learn to run from danger because it's dangerous and walk away from it, but we need to face it, as Chris and Jill have already said. So there's this adult you that needs to develop here. Yeah. And there's another issue, which is, how and why did you pick him in the first place? You know, and sometimes our picker is bad because we've been hurt so much that
my picker's well.
Right. Well, we pick what's familiar.
We do. We pick what's familiar, or we pick with hope and fantasy in our minds that this will somehow be different. But you've grown a lot here, Misty. You have a lot of good insights, and you have a lot of excellent observations. And I wouldn't stand for it either if somebody was doing that to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can draw a line in the sand and say no more.
If I don't forgive, though, aren't I a sinner?
No, you will. You will be in the process of forgiving, okay? It's a long process. Okay. But what we're saying is we want to put it in its proper place. We want your forgiveness to be full. We don't want it as full as it can be. We don't want it to be incomplete. And so our forgiveness is incomplete when we don't address the injuries that need the forgiveness. Let me put it this way. Before I got into recovery, I was a general sinner who had general sin and general consequences. Therefore, I got a general savior. When I started facing my specific behaviors, I realized, wow, I am a specific sinner with very specific consequences, and therefore I need specific forgiveness. And I'm telling you, specific forgiveness is way more powerful than general forgiveness. Jesus didn't go to the cross for general sin. Or with general forgiveness. He went with very specific sin and very specific people in mind. So I hope that's helpful for you to walk into that. I'm actually going to send you a copy of How We Love. And the reason for that is because, as Mylon was saying, the picker is off, but there is a lack of kind of insight and understanding of why. I want you to know why. Why is it that I keep choosing these people, and how do I show up to relationship, and how do I interact with people, and what looks healthy or healthier, and what looks unhealthy? So that's going to come your way. So thank you so much, Misty, for calling in, and I know a lot of other people are struggling with this very same issue, so you're leading a lot of people today. And if you give any financial gift whatsoever this month, we are going to be sending you a copy of Creatures of Habit by Steve Poe. And that's going to really address the areas in our life where we get stuck in, like, just kind of unhealthy or bad behavior, and how do we break those. So, again, feel free to give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, to get help or to make a contribution. And we will be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Chris back in studio for Steve Arterburn, and we are going straight to the calls. We're in coming up in our final segment here, so we want to talk with Robert in America's Georgia, listening on Sirius XM. Robert, are you there?
I am.
Robert, how can we help you today?
I was going to say, your previous caller, that was very insightful. So thanks for what y'all told her, because that nailed some things that I'm working on. But I was calling in regards to issues dealing with my mom. Recently been going through divorce, and that's been a challenge from this last fall. But now my mom, also having issues with her in where she's been, I guess, shaming me and not spending time with her, and, you know, just making statements about how my dad wouldn't be proud. My dad passed away a little over 2 years ago, and I'm just kind of confused, because I'm like, there's at times where I never, like, I avoid spending time with her because of just there's questions or expectations, and over time I realized that I believe my mom has some narcissistic personalities, and, you know, sometimes she's nice, but then it's like, you're, well, what's going to be expected, because, you know, she did this for me, so now she's going to expect this. And well, my question is that a little over a week ago, I went to go visit my sister. I didn't make time to go see my mom, and, you know, she just basically sent me this text about how it was terrible what I was doing, I'm not honoring her, and she hopes God takes her soon, and all this stuff. And I'm like, whoa. And it's like, don't you realize why I don't want to spend time is because of this, these actions right here. So I'm wondering, how do I effectively address the problem rather than avoid it and stand up? And, you know, kind of like what you've been talking about in your previous callers, is that not avoid, but you actually deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me normalize something first and foremost. So if there is a person in my life who shames me, likes to tell me that I'm disappointing my father, who tells me I'm a bad person for not catering to their needs or hanging out with them, or likes to do what I call the quid pro quo relationship, I will give you this only if you give me something back, and it's always on my terms, I tend to avoid people like that. Because they make me feel bad.
Yeah, drained.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I know it's a different relationship because it's mom. But I also want to just make sure that we're very clear here. That we're fighting against this idea. And I'm not saying you're saying it, but fighting against the idea that you're doing something wrong or bad because you are avoiding her. And because she sounds like a person that I would avoid too. But we still have to deal with this problem, as we were talking about in the last show. So Jill, what do you think?
Well, Robert, good for you for not wanting to avoid it or realizing that you do need to address it. I'm wondering, I think perhaps leaning into mom a bit and making a statement, maybe even in the form of a letter, letting her know how much you love her, maybe sharing some good things about her that she's given you over the years. However, mom, recently, this is what it's like to be in your presence. And I realize that doesn't always feel good. And so sometimes I avoid you. You're right. And she won't like to hear that. I'm not sure what she'll do with that, because people that are more narcissistic have a really hard time with any, you know, sense of badness about themselves, mm-hmm. and they tend to project that out onto others, which you're getting a big dose of, Robert. So that's where you start with good things, kind of prime the pump a little bit with things you really appreciate and value about her. And then it's like, okay, well, recently, though, this has been happening, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe even address some concerns. Mom, you know, how are you feeling in your life right now?
Yeah.
And so to kind of, you know, again, keep the focus a little bit on her while slipping in, but it doesn't feel good to be in your presence.
Yeah.
It might be a way to couch it.
Before I got married, I actually cut off communication with my parents because of these, you know, set expectations where it was just like, I mean, I don't know. There's like, it was like their way or the highway.
Right.
And how funny that I married somebody that's the same way that now, mm-hmm. you know, got rid of me because I'm no longer needed in a sense.
So Robert, and, Robert, I just, yeah. I'm so sorry that you're going through two things, that your wife mm-hmm. recently filed for divorce. Kind of what you're in the middle of, Robert, is a child custody battle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your mom is trying to reclaim authority over you and mm-hmm. reclaim position
yes,
over you
divorced.
Now that you're mm-hmm. you're free from your wife. And what I would suggest, in addition to what you've already heard from Chris and Jill, is to understand that your mom is, I don't know that she's narcissistic. I think she's scared and very dependent upon people. And that may appear as though she's self-centered and you're attributing mm-hmm. the word narcissism to that. But fearful people can be very clingy and possessive and needy and then angry when you don't meet their needs mm-hmm. to satisfy
True.
That.
Yeah.
And so what Jill said was really important, that you would sit down with her and say, Mom, what's going on? How scared are you? And then how frightened are you when I don't want to spend time with you? And then this thing about wanting to go and die, and what's going on with you right now? She's lost her husband. And so, you know, highly dominating people don't know what to do with themselves other than grab people, pull them in, and try to hold on. And mm-hmm. what happens is it creates a double drowning. Mm-hmm. Two people end up going under. So you really need to have that conversation okay. with her that Jill suggested.
Yeah.
So.
And Robert, as you're recognizing, you do a great job of recognizing this pattern. There is one person that you need to recover here. And it's you. Right? So Mylan right. was talking about the tug of war. And so people, you attract or are attracted to people who like to control you. And yeah. so what yeah. you've got to do is cut those control ties and get out of that tug of war, because that tug of war creates you feeling like you have to be responsible for other mm-hmm. people's thoughts and feelings and desires. We call that codependency. So getting in a codependency group would be very, very helpful. And I'm also going to recommend the book Take Your Life Back. And so I think those will be very, very helpful. We're still in process of deciding when, but the Emotional Freedom Workshop is coming back around. So keep an eye out for that, because we do address codependency and all of the issues around that through that workshop, and you're able to process that with other people. So, Robert, thank you so much for calling in today. And I want to mention, a couple of days from right now, when this airs, we will be having an Everyman's Battle workshop. It's never been easier to get into the workshop. It's online. If you are struggling with sexual acting out, brokenness in your life, and it is creating pain, get help, and the time to do it is now. So sign up for that 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.